Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
By asking the right question, because I'd asked the wrong question, figured out how to go bankrupt. Now I ask the right question, how do I do what I'm supposed to do? And then the audience kept saying, well, do you have it in a book? And I put together my first book and I tripled my income the first year.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am so excited to have Mark Victor Hansen and Crystal Dwyer Hansen with me today. They are the authors of the book Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. But they also are both super accomplished in their own rights. Mark Victor Hansen, of course, one of the co-authors, creators of the massive, huge, now conglomerate, we'll call it, of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series and everything that emanated from Chicken Soup. And Crystal is also an incredible life coach and author, and she's done amazing things, which I'm going to have her talk about as well. And both of them are now married, and together they are creating something new and powerful that's going to change the world. So I'm so excited to have both of you here with me today. And welcome, Mark and Crystal.
We are thankful to be with you.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. So happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. So, Crystal, the book, the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, Ask, is also kind of, in a way, you started, you know, off with, you know, a humble story, and you've had to ask to get where you are in your life. Yeah. And, you know, you married young, you were a single mom, and you were on food stamps or something like that. Tell us that story, because I think it's pretty incredible so that people can see the hero journey in you.
Sure, I'd love to, Rebecca. So I was one of those kids that found high school to be really easy and got kind of bored. And I ended up marrying a guy that was 5 years older than I. 2.5 years later, I find myself in a new city, divorced, baby on my hip, no family and friends, and absolutely no idea what I was going to do to support myself. So I did the only thing I could think of at the time, and that was to apply for food stamps. So I remember going to the grocery store and standing in line that first time, getting ready to exchange my food and diapers for those food stamps. And so it was like for a moment, time just stood still for me. And a question popped in my mind. And suddenly I literally had this huge epiphany. And the first question was, how did I get here? Followed by a second question that was, are you doing everything you can to get out of this situation, or are you taking the easy way out? And I felt, like I said, like a light was shining on my head. It was my moment of truth. And in that instant, when my mind formed that question, I knew the answer. And I knew that I was not doing everything I could to get out of the situation. I knew I wasn't tapping into, I knew there was something more, and I knew I wasn't tapping into all my resources. So I had this incredible instant pivot where, as I was turning those food stamps over to the woman, to the cashier, I was thinking, this will not be my future. And I felt it with so much conviction inside. I think I almost looked a little fierce when I handed those to her. And I went home, and I never used the food stamps again. I threw the rest of them away. And I knew that I didn't have any answers, but I realized I had questions. And so I started asking myself, how can I make money tomorrow? Who would hire me?
What? And it's so important that you, like, every single person that I've ever spoken to about that, they just had that shift, like that yes. one moment where you were just like, that's it.
Yep.
This is not how it's going to be.
Yeah. And you know, Rebecca, it would have been so easy. I had all the reasons, all the excuses. I was so young. I had no help. It would be so easy to just slip further down and wallow in my misery, my victimization, my pain. I mean, I was waking up every night crying, you know, or crying myself to sleep, getting eviction notices, going, how am I going to do this? But in that moment, my moment of truth, when I asked myself those questions, I knew it. And thank God, I'm very thankful to this day that I had the courage to answer them honestly, because that's part of the formula. Is you need to be able to ask these questions that come to us, these questions that we ask ourselves. We need to be able to answer them honestly. So I started trying to figure out how to go to work the next day. I remembered when I started asking myself, how can I make money tomorrow? I had heard about temporary service agencies. Kelly girls, right? So I called them up and I said, how do I become a part of this? What do I need to do? They said, fill out this paperwork. We'll call you. Tell us what you're qualified to do. Fortunately, I had jobs in high school. I'd worked at a clothing store, and I worked at, you know, from the time I was 14, I worked at Taco Time, and I'd worked in my dad's law offices. So I put everything down that I could think of that I had, you know, any quality that I thought I had. And I started getting, you know, they would call me and give me these jobs. And I started filling in at like attorney's offices and setting up booths at malls and doing things like, you know, sales at conventions. And I started learning a lot about myself. I really loved being out there. I loved the business world. I loved working with people. And I also realized that I was pretty good at sales and had some skills that I didn't know of. So at that point, I decided to put myself through real estate school. I had saved enough money and ended up a little more than a year and a half from that time when I was turning those food stamps over to the cashier. I was now working for the biggest home builder in our valley. I became the number one realtor. And incidentally, during that time, someone had approached me and said, you should do some modeling. So I thought, what do I have to lose? I'll just go ask I went to the biggest modeling agency and asked them if they'd sign me. And they said, yes, thank goodness. I mean, it was so funny because I remember that day he's like, well, have you done runway before? You know, do you know how to walk on a runway? And I'm like, I think I can. Getting up and trying to do the runway walk, you know, fortunately I'd had some dance experience, but long and short of it is they signed me and I ended up doing some television commercials that went national. So I ended up having to join Screen Actors Guild, because when you do book a certain amount of residual income with Screen Actors Guild, you get all, you know, with commercials, you get all these benefits through Screen Actors Guild. So a year and a half later, here I am working for the biggest home builder, become, you know, the number one salesperson, and I'm getting residual income from my commercials. And I have the greatest benefits available for myself and my little baby boy. So it was
all because you just said, that's it. I'm done. This is changing.
Yeah. And you know, it's like the power of a question, because like, obviously that's why Mark and I wrote this book, Ask. Because
And I'm going to get into, I want you guys to go into all of that. And I want Mark though to tell us his story too, because he had a story of bankruptcy and all kinds of, and what was interesting to me is when I was doing my research, I listened to some other interviews that you guys had done, and you had mentioned Bucky Fuller. And what I thought was really cool about that is my uncle was actually Buckminster Fuller's partner in the architecture firm. And Fuller, Sadow, and Zung.
And Zung.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I knew him. By the way, I got goosebumps, forgive me, but I traveled with Dr. Fuller as a research assistant. I was 21 and he was 71. I heard him talk at the university in front of 5,000 people, and I thought, I know you'd never have this, but you know the term sophomoric. I was sophomoric. I knew everything.
So my uncle, Tom Zung, Thomas Zung, was his partner.
Is he alive still?
He is. He's 87, and he still speaks all over, well, before COVID, but he's a professor emeritus at at Stanford, and he's written several books on Bucky, and he speaks all over the world about it.
Yeah, I meet him, but as you know, those guys did. For those of you listening, I get goosebumps. Forgive me. You know, that for me is corroboration of truth in what we did with chicken soup. We said you get goosebumps, God bumps, chili bumps, instantaneous behavioral change, seven things. That's not, except that that's what I'm feeling now, because I knew those guys. And you may know that they created the first floating city off Tokyo.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Of course.
Because Bucky said, hey, look, we're having this population boom. And I worked with Dr. Fuller for 7 years, 21. He was 71. And then we were with him. I was with him 3 days before he died, too. And so it was amazing at 89. But Fuller was a visionary. For those of you that don't know, he was Einstein's best student, I'll argue. He had thousands of inventions, 40 major books. I was helping him in the end with some of those. But he created World Game. He said, look, we're going to have a population explosion here. Because Malta, I can go through the science and the physics of it. But the bottom line is we don't have enough way to put it. And there's not a population problem like Bill Gates is saying so arbitrarily. But we have a design problem. We're not able to take care of the people. And Soji and Zung and I are doing this. So I'm just, you're the first one ever that I've met. I mean, I've met a lot of people that were with Bucky's, you know, because the guy lived 89 years and never was a day he didn't work. He slept 2 hours a night. It just, he was unequivocally the most amazing guy. And what he taught us about questions was that you got to ask bigger questions. So we wrote in our book, Ask, the size of your question determines the size of your result. And his question was, how do I make the world work for 100% of humanity, physically and economically? And then he grailed seven guys before he died, myself, our dearest friend, Dr. Michael Benelli, and a few others. I know all of us, but and said, go, you guys know enough about tech and enough about articulation and eloquence, go out and pull this off. And it's so nice that, you know, you got a relative.
He's my uncle. Very close, very, very close. My dad's brother. So
thank you. So my story was, I tried to be Bucky. That made me go bankrupt. He didn't make me go bankrupt. Trying to be somebody else made me go bankrupt. But I was building out of plastic. I built a washer rack, a club, botanical gardens, aviaries, all that stuff in New York. But for 6 months, I'm sleeping, depressed, upset, hiding underneath, you know, sheets and outside some other guy's room, and just asking myself, what am I supposed to do? Because that's really the question. We say, ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And I'm saying, God, what's my right livelihood? And I'm supposed to talk to people that care about things that matter, that make a life transformative difference. And I go to my roommates and I ask them, I was in Hicksville, Long Island, New York at the time. I said, do you guys know anyone that's young, not a celebrity, not a Broadway star, because we're in New York, not a lawyer, not a doctor, and that I could relate to that's speaking? And the guy said, yeah, in real estate, there's this guy a few years older than you, Chip Collins. And I went out and got wowed by him by 3 hours, asked him after he talked. I said, Chip, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I need to do what you do. This is my right livelihood. Can I buy your lunch? He said, kid, chance of you making it is 1 in 1,000. You're not going to make it, but I'll let you buy me lunch. We went to lunch. He told me what to do. He said, in the 5 boroughs of New York, stay out of real estate, and I'll teach you how to do it in life insurance. But I told you, you're not going to make a bill. I got 1,000 talks a year for the first 3 years by asking the right question, because I'd asked the wrong question, figured out how to go bankrupt. Now I ask the right question, how do I do what I'm supposed to do? And then the audience kept saying, well, do you have it in a book? And I put together my first book, and I tripled my income the first year for little audiences, 6 people, 50 people at the most. I sold this book called Stand Up, Speak Out, and Win at $10 each, 20,000 copies, made over $200,000. Now, again, I thought, well, I'll crash and burn, but this time I'm going to stay up. And now, 500 million plus books later and 312 books, I think I'm going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it was that shift. And so I want to talk about your book, Ask, which I love the name because it's like right to the point, you know, as far as what it is that you need to do. And I also love the fact that you started with this, I call it a parable. I don't know if that's the right word, but just sort of this little story, which I actually kind of was reminded of the book, The Alchemist, in listening or reading to it, reading it and listening to it on my Audible. It's a story about a girl named Michaela, and she is kind of downtrodden. Her life is, you know, kind of, you know, she collects rocks I mean, how about that for, okay, that's what I knew. And how many of us are collecting rocks, which I kind of thought that was a really good way of sort of looking at life in a lot of ways, you know? But she also feels like her life is horrible. I mean, or it really is in a lot of ways. I mean, her parents have both died. They've taken all of her money because her mother was sick and there were lots of medical expenses and she's like living under a tree or something. And, you know, I loved it because how many of us out there, and especially in my community, who are people who are dealing with toxic personalities, just feel like they just can't win. Like life is just never giving them, you know, a break. They just can't cut a break. And bad things happen to us, you know, as humans, we get lessons, whether we want them or not. And they're hard a lot of times. So what I loved about the story is how she just sort of shifted gradually through these dreams that she had, the five or six, I can't remember how many it was, but five or six dreams that she had that kind of taught her how to shift. And both of you had these moments in your life where you were on food stamps, bankrupt, you know, as low as it can be, and had that shift. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, we were really excited about the parable, the fable of Michaela. We wanted to start with the parable because the power of stories is just so impactful on all of us. You know, when we read a story like Michaela, it kind of becomes a metaphor for our own lives. And we start to see ourselves in that story. And, you know, a metaphor is really a pattern that our brain recognizes. And our brains really do think and learn in patterns. So those stories are super powerful and super helpful if you can read the story and read powerful stories like that more than once. But yeah, Michaela's life, I mean, like you said, I wrote it to be sort of every woman and every man's story because she starts off with nothing. Yeah, she's lost everything. She's literally taking big, heavy rocks and moving them from one place to the other every day. And she's lost all hope. She thinks nothing can change. And then when the being takes her up on this journey, she falls into this exhausted sleep one night. And this being lifts her up and shows her this asking bridge and reveals to her it's a sparkling, beautiful bridge. But what she notices is that some people just pass the bridge by and they seem, you know, heartbroken, upset, distraught. They don't even notice the bridge is there. But then other people who do notice the bridge and enter the bridge are happy, joyful. They seem to be moving in the right direction. And so the being admonishes her to start asking. He says, remember, Michaela, you know, the key is to ask it, never stop asking. And the second she wakes up, she's already different inside because she realizes there was something magical. And as she goes about her day, she starts to notice things outside of herself because whether we're all a little bit narcissistic as human beings, we get wrapped up in our own problems to the point that we can't see anything else. And it's an awful place to be. And so the book is really designed to help us understand that no matter how bad things are in our lives, however stuck we are, that there is a key that is inside all of us right now, and that key is to ask.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
We say there are actually three channels through which to ask, and those are ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And each of those channels is equally important as you're trying to transcend difficulties or move ahead or start over, whatever you're trying to do.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp can assist you today with your own licensed professional therapist, private, online, super convenient. You're communicating in less than 24 hours, no waiting room, no leaving your house even. And they are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy to change therapists if you need to change therapists. They can help you if you're wherever you are in the world, worldwide, with anything such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts. Anything you share is confidential, super convenient, affordable. I want you to start living a happier life today. And so as a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/breakingfree. Join over 800,000 people by taking charge of your mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/breakingfree. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
It's no secret that narcissists are pathological liars. They lie for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because I've seen them lie about things that they don't even really need to lie about. And that's the whole thing that's kind of surprising to me. Like, why would you lie about that?
And now we return to today's show.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to differentiate and just to stop being in victim mentality. And I think, you know, part of making that shift and starting to ask is to stop going, well, how come she has that life and I don't? Or why, you know, or he was able to get where he was because he had more breaks or other people to help, or there was some circumstance that made it better or easier or something that they had that I don't have. Can you just maybe, Mark, speak to that?
Well, first of all, I love the fact that we're doing this as a victim versus victor. And that's my middle name was when I ran for political office in school. It was a mark of victory with Hanson, and it always won. So it was really.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. That's so great.
But I've been a victim a couple of times. So I got clear what happens. And what we're saying now, based on the fact that the book came out during the height of COVID and our publisher called up and said, do you want to push it back? We said, no. I always take adversity, turn into advantage, which every one of your listeners has got to do right now. And what we're saying, we got like 121 letters a couple of days ago with people saying, my life's transformed, because what we're doing with the book is they get two of them and you find somebody that's depressed, despondent, disconsolate. And unfortunately, as you know, Rebecca, better than us probably because of your business, suicide is going off the Richter scale because it's not okay in a cloistered time shutdown. The point is, the people are buddying up with somebody, going through every question in the book asked, and they get over all their whiffles, all the, what you said a minute ago, your life feels like you're dragging around rocks, like our first story, which is true. And what this does is it, you ask the question and you progressively dissolve stuff. And then what Crystal likes to say is you start to have illumination and revelation and insight and understanding and awareness. And that can only happen, as far as we're concerned, with questions, which is why, as we pursue this now, Socrates, you know, said, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. And what he's really saying is he created education for all of us in the world by the method of questioning. We sort of, forgive me, your industry is totally a questioning industry, I think. And if I'm wrong, you correct me, edify me. But we're saying individually to get out of victimhood, like I thought I was, oh, poor me, I'm bankrupt. I lost $2 million in one day and I'm the most stupid guy in the whole world. And then all of a sudden I started asking, well, how do I get going? And I got going again. And since then, you know, now I've had over 1 billion readers and I've helped. My goal is in my 1 Minute Millionaire to create 1 million millionaires. And you know, there's 1 million ways to make 1 million and one right, perfect, easy, acceptable way to everyone. If you ask the right questions, you get the right resolve. And we think this is the most important book of our time, all deference to everything you've written and everybody else has written. We think it's sort of like The Alchemist. Yeah.
Well, certainly, work like what you're doing and what I'm doing really helps to shift the perspective, especially for people like who follow me, who are in toxic relationships and just feel like they can't turn it around. Like there's just no way they can win. There's no way. They're constantly on the defensive. And the person has been maybe so abused that they can't even think straight sometimes. And so, even in my book, Negotiate Like You Matter, I talked about how mindset is, 80% of a negotiation is won before you even walk into a room, and mindset is 50% of it. And so I love what you guys are doing because I actually read the whole entire book. A lot of times when I do interviews, I'll just get like the gist, but I'm so such a student of the work that you guys are doing that I voraciously read it because I thought I love this stuff and I really, really want to make sure that your message is properly delivered. So you talk about ways, who to ask, and how to ask. And you have like three parts of asking. Can you address that?
Yeah, sure. So we say there are actually three channels through which to ask, and those are ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And each of those channels is equally important as you're trying to transcend difficulties or move ahead or start over, whatever you're trying to do. And when you start to deploy those channels and ask the right questions, you'll start to see everything change so magically. And really, the asking journey, we think, starts with asking yourself. So few people take the time, Rebecca, to spend time with themselves. And we say that's the most important time you'll spend during the day, is that time where you spend focused deliberately on your life and on creating the life that you want. And as a transformational life coach, I tell people all the time, while it appears that life is coming at you from some source outside yourself, that is a lie. That's a fallacy. The truth is that your life experience, what your experience is like as life every day, is really created right here inside of yourself, in your own mind and in your own heart. So it's so valuable to take that time with yourself and start to do a deliberate creation, because a lot of what we've accepted in our lives right now becomes programming that we live our lives by. And it's happened randomly. It hasn't happened with deliberate intention focused on what we wanted. And that begins with the asking journey to get to that place where we can figure that out. Well, how do I get there? How do I figure it out? Right. You take the asking journey, and that ask yourself part is the reflective journey. So we say, there are really three critical phases to that. When you're asking yourself, it's where am I now? And all of the little sub questions that come under that, because you need to understand where you are. Are you miserable? Am I miserable? Is there anything I like about this situation, this relationship, this job? What do I like? What's unacceptable? Am I willing to put up with this, or am I willing to take steps that will change things? And you really have to come clean with yourself sometimes, because we just get on that roller coaster and never get off sometimes. But asking yourself these questions and then answering them honestly and courageously will start taking you forward. And then the second critical phase is where am I now? Where do I want to be? Like you said a second ago, some people are just so confused. They're so steeped in the problem, they're not looking outside of it. So what Mark and I like to say is, when you start this phase of questioning, where do I want to be? This is so important, because you're really starting to create the architecture for the life you really want. So imagine, this is where your imagination comes into play, and we're the only animals that have this power of imagination. So imagine the nth degree of perfection in a relationship that you would want, right? Imagine yourself there right now, like in the stage of your mind, and then start asking the questions from this perfect scenario. What is your relationship like every day? How are you treating each other? What things do you enjoy together? What are your goals together? What's your, do you have a higher purpose? what things matter to you. I mean, when you start to figure those things out, everything suddenly changes. And you start to understand what's acceptable and what's not, and actually start to sculpt your perfect life. And then the third part of that is, what specific actions do you need to take, okay, that support this information or support these breakthroughs or support these illuminations that you're getting? Because you have to put your asking journey into action. You will get answers. You will start to get revelations. You will start to understand yourself and others better. And so the important thing is to take those steps and take those actions as you start to get those answers.
Yeah. And I love that. And maybe Mark, you could talk about this. You know, when you talk about asking others, you talk about there's seven obstacles, that there's people who, you know, they don't want to. And especially in negotiation or when they're dealing with people who are very challenging. Can you talk a little bit about those obstacles?
Absolutely. We call them seven roadblocks, and we say every one of us has one or more of them going at the same time. And some people, if you're really back to your line of toxicity, when your mind is involuting rather than evoluting, you go through more of them all at once. So that's why it's so important to ask questions. But they include unworthiness, they include fear, they include doubt, they include excusology, which is, you know, all of us know that person. They include pattern paralysis, where the person goes over and over and over the same thing again. And then when we're thinking more now than ever before, because, you know, we're in this cocoon of life, which is not good for anybody as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you should keep the sick cocoon maybe, but not healthy people. We're disconnected. And what happens is we've got six grandkids. They say, oh, but we're connected. No. You're not connected. Get clear. A telephone is a telephone ear connection, but you really need togetherness. And thank God we live in Arizona, and here we can still go to restaurants and have some freedom and movies and stuff. So, and we've got really great friends that are smart, and so we're more connected. But every one of us has got to go through those, because the quickest example on unworthiness, just that's the top of the heap, because all of us feel unworthy at some level of our life sometime. And we got the great story about my friend who I've owned two companies with, Bob Proctor, and he's long, long ago, he's 84 right now, is that he was making $4,000 a year as a fireman, owed $6,000, was upside down, never thought he'd make it, ask yourself, he said, I got to get out of here. This doesn't make sense. These guys are nothing but drunks. They're useless, right? My colleagues. And so he said, I'll ask somebody that knows. So he goes to somebody that really could mentor him. And all of us have to have somebody. Even now, we're asking you before the show starts, if you don't mind my saying it, we want you to mentor us on YouTube, and we'll mentor you on how to become one of the world's best-selling authors, more than you are already, right? But he went to this guy, Ray, who's also a friend of mine, and said, hey, how do you become rich, healthy, and happy? And he started asking questions. What does it mean to be happy? And that, long story short, Bob has now got his 100th birthday scheduled to bring 1 million people out to Las Vegas. He's in great shape. He's doing better than ever. He's running.
Oh, my goodness. And there's a whole chapter on him in the book. I want to just make sure the listeners know
that they can. You know, Bob is, forgive me, because he's one of our best friends. I mean, he wrote me in his birthday and said how much I've meant to him. And he's meant so much to us. We've been to his 80th birthday years ago, 4 years ago. We just love this guy, but he stands tall. He stands strong. He's vigorous. And that's what we're not supposed to age. But remember, if you don't program yourself to how do I stay healthy? How do I keep my immune system strong? How do I really get wealthy so I can afford to do whatever I want to do and have my right livelihood? Because we're saying the subtitle of the book is toward your destiny. And we're saying, ask yourself, what is your destiny? That's how to get out of toxicity. Solomon said, without vision, we perish. I'd write that translated, with vision, we flourish out of toxicity and into our destiny. And our destiny in asking is helping everyone use asking as a tool and a technology to find their destiny. Because if you're alive, you haven't fulfilled your destiny.
Absolutely. And I want to just mention for everyone, and I'm going to make sure to have links to your books and everything in the show notes. But in the book, you do break out you know, how to ask for physical health and you know, step-by-step guidance, how to ask for, you know, business or financial and step-by-step guidance there. But I want to make sure that we also get to the point where we talk about asking God, because that's your third step. And I am a student of quantum law. And to me, that's where that kind of comes into play. And I really, really, really want my listeners to hear what you have to say about that, because I think that is so, so important in this third step of asking.
Yeah, I love that too. And it is, it's so critical. And you know, I say, Rebecca, that at some point, I think in the next decade, we're going to realize, we're going to see a place where spirituality, consciousness, and science all converge, because they really do come together. And when you study quantum physics is really, in a nutshell, it's just basically whatever you expect to observe is what you get. And when you read about quantum physics and all of the science behind it, scientists are actually baffled. But then you look at scripture, and scripture tells us again and again, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door
absolutely
will be open.
Absolutely.
All of the wisdom traditions, from the Upanishads to the Torah, they all talk about asking, about basically getting what you expect. And so, you know, God has basically tried to give us the code to say, you know, I need you to ask. You get to determine. You are a self-determining creature. I gave you this gift. Are you willing to use it? And will you believe? You know, do you have the faith?
I'm restraining myself from doing like a massive, huge cheer right now. Going, yes!
I would like to add something with your permission, Rebecca.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this fits only because of your uncle. Is it Bucky Fuller is a Harvard guy with 15 doctorates at Harvard. I mean, he's immensely intelligent. His great-great-great-great-grandfather was Ralph Waldo Emerson, who started Divinity School at Harvard. So this guy's plugged in at a level that's very unusual. Like I say, he didn't sleep. He couldn't see when he was little, so he got big goggles back, which used to be an affront back in 1895, right? So the point is that Bucky's kid dies of spinal meningitis. He's at the Harvard-Yale game, and he feels trashed. He's at the end of Lake Michigan writing for Fortune magazine at the time. He's going to kill himself, and he asks two questions that fit your question. I get goosebumps telling you. Number one is there a God, which is a great question for all of us to ask, because some of the people out there, when they're in a toxic relationship, are saying, hey, wait a second, God, look, Big G, you abandoned me. What the hell are you doing? How could I have such an awful life if you're God is God and God is good? How can you do that? So Bucky's answer was, it came intuitionally, like these answers that come to Crystal, you know, prophetically. And it said, there's an a priori intelligence universe, meaning an intelligence before cause, right? A causeless cause. And then number two is that, do I have a reason for being? Which is why we did destiny here, because everyone has a reason for being. You may not have explored it enough. So what you got to do, what we're teaching in the book, is you ask 400 times before you go to sleep, because she's a, you know, a certified hypnotherapist, is that you clinical, is you got to go deep in your mind. And the only way to do it is with enough questions, the same question until you get penetrate, permeate, fill the inner space of your mind with God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? And you'll, I think you'll shuffle off some of the toxicity and you'll say, holy cow, I'm supposed to do this. And yes, my husband or my spouse or my wife or my business is the wrong business for me right now. I'm not pushing that. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's why I'm feeling this way. Because if you're thinking right, talking right, acting right, you live right and get the right results right here, right now. But it all comes with one thing, ASK, the GET, the life of fulfillment and destiny.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And so we are almost out of time, but I want to, I mean, this has all been so great. I mean, I feel like I could talk to you guys for like the next 3 hours and it probably still wouldn't even be enough, because I feel like we're so in sync with the way that we think, and especially your messaging, I think, is so, so important. And I highly, highly encourage everybody to get their book. I will definitely put it in the notes so that you can do that. So last words. I'm going to give each one of you an opportunity. You know, if you wanted to just say one thing to these people who are stuck in these relationships, who are just feeling like Michaela before when she was still sleeping under a tree, what would you say to them? Crystal, we'll start with you.
I would just say that, you know, the only way God works on in this world, sometimes we picture God as some, you know, gray-haired guy in the sky that's a million miles away. And truly, the creator of the universe created us. And so we have that amazing creative ability. We were told that we were created in the creator's image. So we need to really own that and start to understand that the only way that God can express is through us and in us. And so that's a huge and awesome opportunity. So, you know, you're not alone. And you have this incredible power inside of you. So plug in and just start asking the questions. And I promise you, your life is going to start changing in wondrous ways. And I really hope that people get the book and really follow it, really read it thoroughly and imagine yourself in those stories, because there's a lot of magic there.
And I will add that, look, I'd love you to go in bookstores and get our book if there is a bookstore open by you, but they've been crushed a little bit with COVID. So if you've got to, go to Amazon, get a copy of the book, and then go to our new website that we're freely trying to teach everyone to become a master astrologer, called askthebookclub.com, and we'll help lead you to becoming a master astrologer and have the fulfillment of your destiny. That's our goal. Our destiny is to help you get to your destiny. Then the other subset of that is, I'll give mine and she can give hers. If you want to go to my website, markvictorhansen.com, or watch my stuff on YouTube, we love that. And
yeah, and I have a great free resource at my website, crystalvisionlife.com. It's an audio, you know, guided visualization audio called Purge Messy Thinking. And it's a really good one for people right now, because we all do that messy thinking that's really, you know, shutting us down and sabotaging us. So yeah, grab that. It's a free resource, crystalvisionlife.com. And then, you know, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We love hearing from people. I'm Crystal Dwyer Hansen, of course, and he's Mark Victor Hansen, all of the platforms.
Yes, and it's Hansen with the E-N.
E-N, thank you.
The Danish way, correct.
A lot of people get that wrong, Rebecca, so thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you both so much. I really hope that my vision for this is that it helped anybody start to pivot, start to just go, wait a minute, maybe I can make this shift. Maybe I can. And it just really starts with that first step. And so if the first step is just grabbing a copy of the book or grabbing one of your free resources or something and just starting to take that walk, that, you know, that's the way to do it. That's how you start going in the right direction. So thank you both so much. This was incredible.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.